in my head, like, there's all these expectations, there are all these like pinnacle points that I have to check off in my life that didn't exist directly from other people. I just thought that that was what people wanted from me. And I think it really messed me up for a while because I was constantly playing a character that somebody else chose. And the reason I say it like that is because the whole create a player thing, like, you get to do it. You don't have to, you know, be somebody else. You don't have to be who your mom and dad want you to be, your siblings, teachers, anything like that. Because when you do that, you only increase the burden. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure you can relate. Having all that weight on your shoulders is impossible when it doesn't belong to you.
What's up, everybody? Quick intro today. This is me being interviewed on Jaleesa Bell's podcast, Chime In with Jaleesa. Jaleesa is a former client of mine. She's been on my podcast before. I actually interviewed her on episode 188. And then episode 196, I shared an episode from her podcast, Chime In with Jaleesa, because I was just proud of her and excited for her for starting a podcast. But anyway, she invited me to be a guest on her show. I want to encourage you to subscribe to Jaleesa's podcast. The notes will be, or the links will be in the notes. Show her some love, show her some support on YouTube and Apple and Spotify and all that good stuff. And if you're listening on Thrive After Sports, please subscribe to this podcast if you're not subscribed already, and just scroll down to the bottom and leave your boy a 5-star review. Would definitely appreciate it. Helps more people find out about the show. I love you guys. I appreciate you tuning in as always. And let's get into this episode on Chime In with Jaleesa, hosted by Jaleesa Bell. Peace.
Hello. Welcome back to the Chime In with Jaleesa podcast. I am here with a very, very special guest. I'm going to let him kind of do the rest of his introduction, but you guys have heard his name probably 1,000 times on this podcast, and you're going to hear it 1,000 more. My mentor, my very special guest, Taj Deshaun.
Honored to be here. Thank you for having me. I love to see the growth. What episode are you on now?
We're in the 30s, I think.
30s. Yeah. So you already passed that statistic of, you know, the average episode fizzling out around 17. And you're just getting warmed up. So I love to see it. You're on YouTube now, too. It's a beautiful thing. Quick introduction. Taj Deshaun, athlete, transition coach, founder of Thrive After Sports, author, podcast host. Everything I do is dedicated to helping current and former athletes thrive, not just survive, in everything they do in life after the game. And I'm grateful to be here on a podcast that started during my time having the pleasure of working with you. And to now see you on episode 30-something, it's beyond exciting. So thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. This episode has been a long time coming. We've been talking about making this episode for so long. But honestly, I'm excited that we're doing it now, because not only, obviously, I have a couple episodes under my belt, but I really wanted this to be an episode that not only continued to show you like my growth, but continued to show me my growth. Because I started last year with your program, and this is just a recap for people who don't know the story, but I did Taj Deshaun's 8-week program, and then I, for some fun reason, mentioned to him, I think on like our first or second meeting, I was like, oh yeah, like I really want to do a podcast. And he was like, great, sounds great, this is what we're doing. And next thing you know, I'm 30-something episodes in, and it has been a blast, which one of the things that I learned not only through the program, but just as you continue to mentor me and kind of show me the right direction, or like show me a possible avenue, really, is that my like dream, the end goal is to be my favorite self. And I've been telling this to people probably since episode 10 or so. Like, I always just mention, like, go be your favorite self. I tell people at my old externship, I tell my friends, I'm like, I like sign it on cards. Like, that's one of my like mottos that I have just stuck with me since we started working together. And what would you say is like a huge part of getting like a mentality switch like that? Like, what do you see as like the, not only foundation for it, but like the benefits of it for like just making that switch?
Well, first of all, I really like that terminology that you're using, a favorite self, because a lot of people will say be your best self or be your best, you know, live your best life. But the reason I like the language around favorite is because I feel like it, there's more of a personal touch, right? Like best self, what does that mean? What does that mean to be my best self? But favorite self, you can almost look at it as like, you have to almost define more of what that looks like. So I might actually steal that from you. But if you're asking me the mindset behind being your favorite self, I think, like I just said, you have to define what that is. I think that's where the switch comes in. Like, what does it actually look like? You know, have you spent the time, which most of us haven't, at one point in my life, I hadn't thought about this either. What does it look like to be my best self or my favorite self? And then how can I consistently hold myself or have someone else hold me accountable to being that version of myself, right? And a lot of that ties into not just who you want to be or how you want to show up, but what you're actually setting out to achieve. And understanding that, like, one of the conversations you and I had a lot was being almost like the creative player in your own game. So first you have to define the game that you're playing and doing it for the right reasons, you know, things that are bigger than just money or status or whatever. And then underneath that, defining the character that you need to be in order to reach the next level and levels of that game. So that's what I think about in terms of the mindset shift that needs to happen. And it's not just all about career or like achievement. You know, sometimes being your favorite self just means giving yourself what you need for that day or in that moment. So yeah, those are my thoughts.
Exactly. No, I like that because you said it best. Like once you say like, oh, I'm going to be my best self or, you know, my higher self or something like that, there is an expectation that is kind of already established, I think, by society. That's like, oh, if you're going to be the best in the sport industry, like say as an athlete, if you're going to be the best as an athlete, you have to make these times look this way, you know, put up these certain stats. And it's like, okay, that might work on game day. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to go be my best self out on the field, on the court, on the track, whatever. But when you're your favorite self, I think it gives you a lot more grace to explore, like not only who you want to be, but like what you can offer. Cause I look at it a lot as like, you don't owe the world anything but your own happiness. Because when you're happy and you're pushing your life in the direction you want to go, then you're giving the world what you've already set yourself up as. Like you're putting your best skills, your best charisma, all of that forward in the way that you see fit, which I think benefits the world a lot greater than society putting expectations on you.
That's a really good point. I like what you said about you don't owe the world anything other than your own happiness. Because, I mean, to your point, sometimes just showing up as your best self is your contribution to others. And you're not doing yourself or anyone else any good. Not that there's anything wrong with having down days, but to always be at least trying to be your best self, not that that means always being happy, but just trying to be, even if you're having a down day or whatever's going on, you're dealing with something, you're making an attempt to make yourself happy, even if it's not in that moment, but in the grand scheme of things, which directly has an impact on others. I like that.
It's wild because a lot of this like thinking and a lot of this, you know, redirection for me, I don't think would have been possible without hearing from, you know, people saying like, hey, go do what you want, or it's okay to do what you want and pursue things that, you know, other people might not believe in me at first, but like once I start picking up traction, once I like they start seeing me basically in my element, they're like, oh, I'm on board. Like, I love this. Like, this is great. And again, I talk about this all the time, but Taj, you are one of like the like prominent factors in not only me making this podcast, but in me making like that switch, for me having even the thought of like, hey, like if I change my perspective, if I, you know, give myself more grace, I can probably ease that burden that I've put on myself. I know I told you a lot when we went through our program that, you know, in my head, like there's all these expectations, there are all these like, you know, pinnacle points that I have to check off in my life that didn't exist directly from other people. I just thought that that was what people wanted from me. And I think it really messed me up for a while because I was constantly playing a character that somebody else chose. And the reason I say it like that is because the whole creative player thing, like you get to do it. You don't have to, you know, be somebody else. You don't have to be who your mom and dad want you to be, your siblings, teachers, anything like that. Because when you do that, you only increase the burden. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure you can relate. Having all that weight on your shoulders is impossible when it doesn't belong to you.
Mm-hmm. How do you now, you know, I have to ask you this question. How do you, and the reason I ask is because I've been dealing with this a lot lately. When you talk about having certain boxes you need to check to feel like, oh, I'm doing the right thing, right? So as a man, I need to be making a certain amount of money, especially now that I have my first child on the way. Those thoughts were hitting me really heavily, right? First, it was like, okay, now I got married, so I need to be making more money. And now I have a child in the way, I need to be making even more money. And if I'm not there, then I feel like I'm falling short. And it's only like a cycle that I find myself, or I found myself before I snapped out of it, in this cycle of like, it's like waking up every day and grinding and like really, it was unhealthy, right? And not coming from a place like, I'm going to get the same amount of work done regardless. It's just how I'm wired. But who am I being while I'm doing the work is what matters. And that impacts my experience of how I'm living life, and impacts how other people perceive me, impacts like how I am with my wife. If I'm like stressed out and on edge all the time, when I could do the same thing, get the same amount of work done, have the same amount of accomplishments, if not more, while also being at peace and understanding that everything's going to work out, and not trying to check other boxes, but checking the boxes that are important to me. So there was a shift that happened for me, but I'm curious how you made that shift, like for you to kind of snap out of that. What was the thing that, you know, took you out of that mindset?
I think, and this is going to sound like very like woo woo hippie kind of vibes.
I love it.
I like woke up one day and I was having a bad day. Like it was everything for whatever reason in my head was going terribly wrong. Like from waking up late to things not going well at like school or work or something. I don't exactly remember where I was in that day, but I woke up and I was like, you know what? This is just going to have to be a mental health day for me. Like, I'm just going to take this day to myself. And I, you know, I didn't tell anybody, like I told like people that might've been like very concerned, like, oh, we haven't seen Jaleesa. Where's Jaleesa at? But I went out and I just kind of spent the day with myself. Like, I was just like, okay, like, let's take a break. Let's act like we're not in grad school. Let's act like we're not working right now. Like, let's just breathe. And I went out and I was like sitting down eating and I was like thinking about it. And I was like, I don't have to, I'm not doing grad school and all of this to like prove a point. I'm doing it so I can figure out where I want to go. And like I said, this is going to sound really woo-woo hippie because it was just whatever comes, whatever happens, I've got to stop fighting it. Like it's going to happen regardless. And I know me and you've talked about this a couple of times, but the biggest thing in my life that I think really, you know, held me back was I tried to control not only every situation, but every aspect of it. And so I was like, if I can just control everything, everything will go, you know, according to plan. A plan that was not mapped out. It was just a plan, just happening as it came. And once I became more comfortable with like, I guess responding instead of just like, oh my God, I have to jump into action right away. Like I would take a step back. I've been like, okay, like that happened. This is how I feel about it. I don't want to always feel like, especially if it was like something negative. I was like, I don't always want to feel this. So what can I do, I think, to like bring me out of this? So I think one of the critical points of like making that switch, I think from that bad day led into like a long weekend for me, like in terms of I didn't have anything to do. I didn't have anything like Thursday, Friday, and then the weekend. And so I forced myself to get up, get ready, and just go do something. Like I'd go walk around somewhere if I had to, if I didn't have anything to do, because I realized that I'm not always going to have somebody next to me to like, oh, Jaleesa, like you're in a really bad depressive episode. Like, come on, let's go do something. And so I kind of figured at some point I'm going to need to be able to do this. Let me figure out what it is that I like. So in a way, that switch came from me almost relearning and deciding on who I want to be. And that was never like a, once you're this person, you got to stay this person. It was, this is who you are. These are the things you like. Pivot accordingly. Like, give yourself the grace to figure it all out when it comes. There's no need to like put the pressure on yourself to be one thing forever. Because when I was like, my best way to explain this additionally to all the other ways I've explained it, like when you're a kid and somebody asks you, oh, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, I want to be a chef, an astronaut, the president. You list all of these things. And no matter how many different things you listed to like your parents or a teacher, they were always told you, yeah, you could do that. You could definitely be that. So I've learned to carry that mentality with me more. Like, I can genuinely do whatever I want. Like, the degree I have, cool. You know, sport management, sport business, I have 2 degrees now. I can go work in the sport industry. I'm very qualified. But if I decide to pivot one day and I want to go be a chef, I want to go be a TV host somewhere, I know I can do that because I've given myself the grace and the availability to shift and not just force myself into this box that I might outgrow at some point, you know?
Wow. You know, one of the main things I'm taking away from what you just shared is that it's about giving yourself what you need in the moment. And a lot of like, we're not brought up to do that. Back to what you were saying about people asking what you want to do. It's all about trying to, I have to do this thing. And I'm basically like, basically I ain't shit until I do this thing. Basically. Because that's when other people will respect me because I've accomplished this thing. And then I'm going to set my goal or set my sights on the next thing versus like having those moments to give ourselves, all right, what do I actually need? And giving myself what I need from day to day, from moment to moment is going to allow me to get to where I want to go. So that's good. I like what you shared there.
And it's nice because it also relates back to being like your favorite self instead of like a best self, because my favorite self one day might look like indulging in like, you know, my painting, or maybe I'm reading more, or maybe I, like I said, maybe I'm going out, maybe I'm more focused on working out that like that for that time period. Maybe my favorite self is like, you know, grinding out like, okay, like let me figure out what I want to do. Like, let me make all these episodes. Like, let me, you know, do a more traditional sense of work. But like you said, the freedom to do what I want to do in the moment is I think what really like made that pivot not only easier, but it made me a lot happier.
Yeah. Damn, you just made me think of something else. I like this. I can't let go of this concept of best self versus favorite self, right? Because while you said that again, I just had the thought of any time in my life prior to recently when I started changing my mindset, anytime I've thought of best self, it was always, okay, being my best self means performance. I'm performing well. I'm making this amount of money. I'm just knocking it out the park in terms of my goals. No sort of like thought process to how I'm actually feeling or, you know what I mean? What's going on internally. It's all about external performance based. This is me at my best self versus when I'm thinking about myself now as my favorite self. When I think about when am I my favorite self is when I'm relaxed, chilling, at peace, trusting, even if I'm working hard, there's no stress. There's no worry. It's just doing what needs to be done from moment to moment. And I'm calm and confident about the future and not worried about what's going to happen with this. I'm just in the moment, present, enjoying the work, no matter what the work is, enjoying the work and being at peace and at ease. That's my favorite self. I didn't know I was going to get on the call today and you were going to be coaching me and, you know, introducing me to new terms. Like, damn, favorite self. That's going to be like another sticky note that I keep on my desk now. Like, be your favorite self today. That's fire.
Yeah, I have one. It's by my door, actually.
It says be your favorite self.
Yeah, there's one that says be your favorite self. And the other one says speak your mind, even if your voice shakes.
I remember that one. You shared that one with me before. That's a good one.
That's one of my favorites because it's like, regardless of what you're going through, like you deserve to be heard, whether it is how you're feeling in the moment, whether you've been done wrong, whether you need to, you know, make things right. Maybe you were the one doing someone else wrong. Like whatever the case is, chances are like it might be something hard. Like the conversation I told you about with my, with where I was working, like there are going to be hard things you have to do. And regardless of how it comes out, it just needs to come out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so on the topic of that conversation we had, little background information. I called Taj sometime in like February. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm at this internship. Here's something that, you know, I need help with. Like, I don't know how to navigate a potentially uncomfortable situation or conversation. And I was like, oh, I need to have this conversation. It'll make my, not only my experience better, but it'll give me the space to like grow a lot more, grow better almost. And so as somebody that is coming into the industry, what do you think? I kind of just want you to go over what you told me with like the best ways to like start those conversations, especially as a like a rookie in the workspace.
Mm-hmm. You mean a conversation where, kind of like you were just saying, like speak up, even if your voice shakes, like where something needs to be addressed with someone?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first thing I'll say is that it is very challenging, especially for us, you know, as current or former athletes who may be listening, where you go from a certain environment to like being on a team and having a coach is different from going into the workplace where you may feel like you're not necessarily on a team or you're just kind of still getting to know your coworkers or there's not that same camaraderie. So it can almost feel like you're going into, like you're going into a workplace by yourself. Like you don't have a team anymore. You're by yourself. And now it's just kind of like this leader who may not know how to lead. And a lot of leaders don't know how to lead, right? At least effectively or in a way that helps you. So right. What I would recommend, what I recommended to you is, you know, nothing's going to change until you have a conversation with that person head on. And a great way to do it is just not to be like, hey, you're doing this and this is bothering me. A lot of people are nervous about having that conversation anyway. And so I always say that as uncomfortable as it is to have a difficult conversation with someone, it's even more uncomfortable to like let things just continue as they are. And so that's the choice, right? It's either you, it's almost like ripping the Band-Aid off. You can face the temporary discomfort of I'm going to have a potentially, and it might not even be an uncomfortable conversation.
Right.
But I'm kind of
totally normal. And you're just exactly. Like, oh God.
Like, oh my God. Then you're up. You can't sleep at night. You know.
That was me.
You had
it
trouble
wasn't
sleeping.
Even an awkward conversation too when it happened. It was totally fine. But yeah, I was like terrified. I was like, how am I like, what do I do? Do I just knock? Do I walk in there?
Right. And that's human nature. You know, we tend to overthink any or everything. And it's not even that deep a lot of times. But, you know, that's really the best way to do it. So as a, you know, current or former athlete entering the workplace, if you have some sort of issue with your boss, manager, even a coworker, that's the best way to approach it is to really think about what do I want to get out of this conversation? How can I understand where the other person is coming from? And coming at it from a place of not confrontation, but just looking to have a real like heart to heart leveling and being like, hey, I've noticed this is happening and I'm really looking to, you want to look at it as you're going into the conversation as like a collaboration. Like you guys are on the same team rather than you're doing this thing and this is pissing me off. You need to stop doing that. Or you need to do more of this. It's more like, hey, you know, I know we both want to X, Y, Z and something that could help me or help both of us get there is this. And then you kind of get their thoughts as well. So as long as you're having the, if you bring a spirit of collaboration versus confrontation, then you really can't go wrong. That's the best way I could describe it.
I think that's perfect. Cause even when me and you were talking about it as well, like we're also talking a lot, like you said, about like the language that we bring into the conversation. And I know, and I said this, a good thing nobody at my job had like a running jar of like how many times I said this. Cause I would keep saying like for the first couple months I've been like, oh well, this is the first time I've done this. And finally somebody there was like, Julissa, that's not an excuse. Like, cool, it's your first time, you're new to this, ask questions, pick up, and you know, and just start learning. Like, don't be afraid to mess up, don't be afraid to, you know, sound dumb. Like a lot of people, and I know especially like my generation, we're terrified to ask questions because we're afraid of sounding stupid. If you don't know how to do something and somebody else does and you go and ask them, that's not you being stupid. Like that was seemingly like an easy thing to learn, but sometimes for people like myself, that's not a concept that's like shown to you a lot. It's like, okay, like do it, pick it up. Don't ask anything, just get it and go kind of thing. But it's like, no, you can slow down. You can be like, hey, I'm not sure what you want me to do here. Can I have some guidance? And I think like that was one of the biggest things that I had to get over was just like, okay, like this is somebody that's supposed to be helping you grow. If they think you're stupid for asking a question, maybe you shouldn't be learning from that person. And so I think that's huge, especially like I said, with like my generation and the generations coming up, is it's not dumb if you don't know how to do it. And if you try to do it without asking or like learning how to do it, that's when bad things are going to happen. Like that's when things are going to like go wrong. And like now you're panicked, I think. But at least that's what happened to me.
Yeah, that's fascinating, isn't it? Because, and I know a lot of athletes listen to your show, and it's like, we're already, when we're playing our sport, we're used to being coached and we love being coached. We want the feedback. At least if, you know, most of the time you want feedback so you can get right. better, or we're used to being criticized. But then we get into the workplace or like a team environment, or even like, the, you know, if you're going into business, and it's all of a sudden we're afraid of looking dumb or like we don't know something, which is interesting. And it's like, if you just take the same mindset of, well, let me lean into this person and who's ahead of me in some way, shape, or form, or supposed to be leading me, and let me get guidance on what I don't understand so I can get better at what I'm doing sooner rather than later. And like you said, if you feel like that person is not receptive to wanting to give you that feedback, or is not being like, you know, a great leader about it, and is more so trying to like chastise you for asking for help, then you're probably in the wrong place, like you said.
Yeah, I think it's huge, because I think you bring the like incredible like aspect of like, if you are a former athlete, like you said, or maybe you're an athlete now, you have essentially like big brothers, big sisters in your program. You have your coach that understands, hopefully, that part of their role as a coach is to help you, is to mentor you, is to bring you up, and really just like you said, pour into you. And when you don't have that in the workplace, like it can kind of jar you a little bit. You're like, oh God, like I don't have somebody like learning with me. Luckily, I actually did at my internship. I had somebody learning the ropes with me. She was in my program too. She's great. But just had to throw that in there. But yeah, it's like, it's no longer a traditional team. And so I think once I started getting more comfortable, started asking more questions, started putting myself out there and like kind of being not only my favorite self, but the self that I am most comfortable with. So growing up, I was a very outspoken, outgoing child. I was pretty much always in people's face and like being loud. And I was like really charismatic. Like I was a cool little kid. And then once I stepped into this new space of like the workplace, all of a sudden, all of that disappeared. It was, okay, Jaleesa is now very quiet. She's reserved. She's not asking questions. She's still an eager learner. She's adaptable. She's flexible. She's coachable. She's all these great qualities, but something's missing. And I think some point during my internship, I was like, go have fun, dude. Like you're here to learn, but you don't have to be like sad about it all the time, or like, oh man, I have to be here. And I think that's like really crucial to kind of have that like little light bulb go off too, is like, if I see it as a way of like, let's learn, let's have fun, kind of the same way that a lot of us came up through sports, was just going out there and doing it and learning along the way and like having fun, asking questions, and kind of only almost going back to that like naive nature. Like, don't be naive and like, oh, just fall for anything, do what everybody tells you, but like naive as in childlike, like you're excited to be doing something you want to learn. And it brings out that eager aspect of people, especially of athletes, because athletes love to like jump out and they're like, oh, this is gonna be sick, this is gonna be sick. You know, season's coming and I'm so excited. I get to be with the team. I get to see my coaches. It is excitement to be there, because although it might be hard, it might be tiring, you know, bumps, bruises come along the way, you're learning and you're building in the way that you want to. And so it just makes it a lot easier. And I think once you take that like mindset to the workplace, it like changes everything in the workplace. And you're just like, oh, like, especially working where I was, like, it was great working there, because like everybody's there and they're like, yeah, okay, we're down to business. You know, we got to get everything done. Let's also have some fun while we're doing it, because we're here for so long anyway. Like, let's have a good time. And so once that happened, it definitely got a lot better. And it was a lot more fun to like wake up and be like, you know what, these 5 a.m.s, they're tough, but I'm going to be there.
Right.
Those 5 a.m.s were rough. was like, this one again. I can't do it.
Are you talking about when you were playing, or are you talking about at work or at
no,
the
I'm talking about
internship?
at work.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. We had to be in there at like 5 a.m. sometimes, and I was like, this is tough.
That's
But
wild.
there were also days that were like, oh, what's gonna happen today? Like, what's gonna happen? What's going on? And it became like this fun, almost like, ooh, let's see what happens. Like, let's see how many like little tasks we can check off today of like, ooh, who's singing at practice, or you know, who's doing this, that, and the third. When I was playing, the mindset when I was like actively an athlete was like, okay, we got to get this done. We got to wake up. I'm pretty sure I actually still had to be at 5 a.m. at least my senior year. I think that feels like forever ago, and it really wasn't. That's a shame. It was not that long ago. It's 2 years. But yeah, that mindset as an athlete, I think it definitely starts young, and it starts with the coaches. It starts with the support staff that is like there to pour into your kids. And as an athlete, it was hard because like we were also a brand new program. And so it was like there were no, you know, established cultures. There was no, you know, directly track upperclassmen. Like we were the track upperclassmen. And it was tough because I think out of the 20 or so kids that came in with me to like start the program, for recruited kids, I was the only kid left. Like by my senior year, we had a walk on. One of my best friends, she became my best friend because she walked on. So we got to know each other and stuff like that. But it was hard to have like a solid growth forward like mindset when I was an athlete, because it was like, I don't know what being the best looks like. I know what being me looks like, and I know what me trying and giving it my best is. But this idea of like this standard was like, I have no idea. And so having something that is not concrete, I think, is really hard, especially for athletes now, to like push themselves towards something. So focusing, I think, on the fun aspect of it is kind of the way to go.
That's a good point. Yeah, I never thought about it like that before.
Yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think a lot of the issue with like sport now is like, we've taken a lot of the fun out. Like we've made it like, how disciplined can you be, and how much of your time are you willing to sacrifice and give to us? And I know, you know, that's not going to be a favorite thing of like coaches that I've said, but that's like the reality of it. Like when I was doing like youth track and field, youth cheer, absolutely, you guys are here and you guys are athletes from this time to this time. You owe us your undivided attention and your full effort. You move into high school and it's like, okay, you also have, you know, a more controlled aspect of, you need to be a good student, and you also need to give us everything as an athlete. So you sit through, I don't know how long high school was, what, 6 hours? Sit through 6 hours of school. You probably have practice for about two. You go home, you have to study, probably do chores, stuff like that around the house. And then depending on your sport, they're like, okay, and you also have film. And so there's so much of this time that they are requiring from you, which absolutely, if you agree to be an athlete, you need to understand that like, these are the requirements. But I think there's also an aspect from the coaches that it's not, hey, this is your job, this is what you're doing. Like I remember being preached to like, this is your job, you're here. You know, especially in college, like you're here and you're, you know, on scholarship or whatever, you owe us this, this, and this. And it's like, absolutely, I agreed. I signed the little contract, but at the same time, I am 18 to 22 or however long people are in college as athletes. I'm going to have fun. Like I'm here for a good time. And if you don't understand that, you don't have a clear concept of what being a college student is. And in order for me to be a student athlete, I do have to be a student first, which should give me, you know, the allowance of enjoying school-related activities.
Right.
I can get any of my former teammates on here, and they would agree. Like, our first year, it was tough because, like I said, it was a new program, but we didn't get, like, we had like this thing called Catawba Palooza, which is basically like a little street fair kind of vibe. None of us got to go unless you were like hurt and didn't go to like the track meet. But like, he's like, they scheduled a track meet and they're like, this is where you guys are going to be. And a lot of us, we went to the track meet because we're athletes, but we were sad because we're like, this is the biggest, one of the biggest events of the year, and we don't get to go. Like, we're part of the school too. And so I think there is an aspect of like, hey, remember that these are just kids. Like, they want to have fun. It's college, it's high school, whatever aspect. At the end of the day, like, we're kids. And mm-hmm. I say that even now as a 24-year-old. Like, I'm a kid. Like, I'm having fun. And I'm learning how to be my favorite self because I have the freedom to have fun. And yeah, I think that also goes back to the earlier question of you, like, what made me shift that perspective? And it just was like, being a kid again, I got a lot of things done. I was super successful as a kid. And that's not me like being like, you know, arrogant or anything. Like, I was a great kid and I had a lot of fun doing it. And so it was like, I wanted that feeling again. And I knew I could get that feeling again by giving into what I wanted to do instead of what other people were expecting of me, or like what I thought other people were expecting of me. Mm-hmm. So it definitely made it, that mindset is probably helping me, like, being a, like, childlike, kiddish almost again, is kind of helping me work through, like, I think, difficult moments in life, which I think you could also relate. I would expect you to relate. But like, when I go through really tough times, I think, especially recently, my like method to the madness is, okay, you know, I kind of identify that feeling. I don't really need to know exactly where it's coming from, but like, I've identified it, I've acknowledged it exists. And then it's kind of like, okay, what can help me either calm down or de-escalate the situation? And like, how do I need to talk to myself? And like, understanding it as like, as if you're talking to a younger version of yourself when these difficult moments happen, I think is a lot easier. And so if you were giving advice to somebody going through like a really hard time, you know, what are some of the things you would recommend to them that are like very broad in general? And I know it sounds kind of weird for to ask for like broad in general things, but I think too often when people ask for help, they get like far too specific answers and it's like not helpful for them. So I think when you broaden it out and almost give people like umbrella categories, it makes it easier for them to trickle down and decide what they want. So any advice?
Yeah, something I've been practicing a lot lately that seems kind of, it's one of those things where everybody has probably heard something like this before, but how often do we actually like practice it or implement it? And what it is staying present and not living in the past or in the future. Because if you're having a rough, and I have to remind myself of this a lot too, if you're having a rough moment or going through a rough patch, it's either caused by, you know, regret or disappointment or something in the past. That's where like depression and all that comes from, is like you're ruminating on something that happened previously. Because if you look at what's going on right now, everything's fine. If you really zoom out and look at it, like anytime you're upset or depressed or like going through something really bad, you're just focused on something that happened in the past. And not that you're not justified in that, but you have to look at, okay, if I look at what's going on right now, I have a roof over my head. I probably ate today. You know, it's not like I'm going to be living on the streets anytime soon. Right. And anything that's anxiety related or fear related or worry related is coming from the future. So as long as you remind yourself to come back to the present and just think about what's actually happening, it puts you in a more grounded place. So that's like general advice. If you're going through something, ask yourself, all right, are these negative emotions that I'm experiencing right now rooted in me trying to project into the future, worrying about what's going to happen, or going back to the past and being upset about something that I can't control because it's already behind me? And how can I bring myself into what's happening right now? And what can I do now? And what do I need to focus on right now? So yeah.
No, I like that a lot. The idea of like, everything with me comes with like a visual. So like for me, zooming out of a camera. Like, you're sitting there and you're so zoomed in with like, oh my God, all of this is happening right here in front of me. I don't know what to do. But then if you like take a second, you're just like, let me get a wider scope of this. And you're like, I'm freaking out because XYZ. That doesn't affect me. I have no immediate control over it. Even if I did, chances are it'd still probably be going like this. And I like that, like zooming out and be like, hey, like my basic needs are taken care of. The next thing I need to focus on is, you know, what can I do to make myself almost like happier in this situation or even just content? Like, I know a lot of the time, I say this on the podcast all the time, but like, be happy, be happy, be happy. And I like throw it, but it's not from a, oh, like everything's just easier if you're happy, because I've been told far too many times, everything's going to be fine. Like, it's not even that bad. And it's like, that's not helpful for somebody with depression. Like, just right. Be more positive. Like, I've tried. So even just like reaching like that state of like contentment, I think has been something that is like huge for me. Cause it's like, I can wake up one morning and I'm like, oh my God, all these things. Today's a perfect example. In my head, I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm recording with Taj. I need to get this done. I need to do all these other things. I need to, you know, get rid of stuff in my apartment in case I move soon. And like all these things, like 1,000 miles a minute at 9:05 in the morning. I was like, no, thank you. Let's take 10 minutes. Just lay here and breathe because I'll be fine. Like, it's like recording's going to go great. Hello, it's me and you doing this.
Right. Of course.
I was like, job-wise, like what I want is going to come when I'm ready to have it. Selling stuff from my room. I've done an incredible job cleaning my room. And maybe in the next episode, everybody will get to see how clean my room is. But I've also changed like my recording space 1,000 times because I'm like, ooh, where's my best angle? But all of that at like 9:05 in the morning was like overwhelming and it was terrifying. And I was like, I'm not going to do anything then. But then I was like, okay, like, let's take a step back, like to breathe for a moment. And I realized, you know, trying to pinpoint and like perfect everything before it was happening was insane. Like, it just doesn't make sense to try and do that. So I really like your advice of like, hey, zoom out, remind yourself that like, you're in a good place, whatever that looks like for you.
Mm. Yeah, great, great. And of course, you always bring it back to a real life example, like you said, with something like, I'm in bed freaking out about all these different things that I'm going to get to eventually. But right now I'm just laying in bed. So let me just be here in bed and then I'll get to those things one by one. But I can only do one thing at a time anyway, you know? So...
yeah, it's definitely hilarious because like the second thought, or I guess not the second thought, the second group of thoughts after like panicking about everything and like laying there for a moment, I kind of was like, oh, like I'm freaking out. I haven't even eaten yet. So I'm probably just hangry. Like I woke up upset that I'm like hungry and like that's all I need to do and I'll be fine.
Right.
Maybe I'll readdress these issues after I've eaten. I've had a cup of water. I've brushed my teeth. Like, once I've put myself back together from being unconscious for like 8 hours, maybe we can get something rolling. And I think that was all I need. Like on most mornings, like I'm fine. Once I like remember that I've just woken up, just wake up, ready to go, panicked 100 miles per minute does not work for me. So I've definitely learned many techniques to slow down and just allow myself to like be in the moment, which I think is huge. And I love that you said that because being in the moment is something that I think we don't take advantage of enough. So.
Yeah. Agreed. Amen.
But with all that being said, I hope everyone has taken 1,000 gems from this episode because we dropped about 2,000, but if you could pick up at least half of them, that'll be good. Taj, thank you so much for coming on and joining me. Is there anything you want to leave the people with before we go?
No, I'll just say thank you for having me. We have some exciting things coming on the Thrive After Sports end, which I would love to have you be a part of. And, you know, we were talking about that before we recorded, but Yeah, I just want to say thank you for having me. And for everybody listening, if you want to learn more about what I do, visit TajDeshawn.com. We have an exciting community that we're building, the Thrive After Sports Collaborative. This is not a community where I'm going to be in there posting a bunch of content. It's a place where current and former athletes and professionals, athletes turned entrepreneurs, can come together, build together, and work together to create and support one another, which is what it's all about. And Jaleesa, I know one of your big things is community. And you're huge on community. So that's why you were the first person that came to mind. I'm like, when I launched this community, I'm definitely reaching out to Jaleesa to be not only be a part of it, but, you know, help me run this thing and help people connect and support one another. So, but this has been great. Love the conversation. I learned some things from you today, and I'm going to be focused on being my favorite self for the rest of today and beyond.
Absolutely. Yes. All of Taj's information I will link in the description. Go check him out. Obviously, like, I recommend, you know, any of his programming, because I mean, look at me go. I'm just talking along. But in all honesty, it has helped me grow in ways that I did not expect. And it's one of my favorite things. So on the note of going to be your favorite self, I will see y'all next time. And thank you for chiming in with Jaleesa. Peace.